calling shenanigans on Drew Carey and The Price is Right. This just happened. I was walking by, my mom's watching The Price is Right, and there's a game where, hey, there's two cars, and here's the price of a car, and here's the price of another car. Are the prices right, no pun, or should we flip them? So the one car, which is a car I own, Drew had $25,000, and the other one, $28,000. And I'm like, flip them. I own that car. That's not a $25,000 car. Woman didn't flip them. I'm like, she should have flipped it. Drew said the car I own, which is not a $25,000 car, was $25,000. I call shenanigans. Now, mine is tricked out and has a sunroof and all the gadgets, but it doesn't have $10,000 worth of gadgets, Drew. Shenanigans. Hi, I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Some information on troop movements has come from videos from Ukrainian and Russian civilians. They've been posted at TikTok. Some people are referring to the conflict as the TikTok war. Stephen Colbert said, oh no, not a TikTok war. That would be, I don't know what that would be. I'm 57. Love it, Stephen Colbert. Instead of TikTok war, can it just be a long form podcast battle or a stack of old New Yorkers conflict? Very good. In other news, Amy Schumer's hosting the Oscars for some reason with Regina Hall and Wanda Sykes. Colbert said three hosts meeting this year. There could be more people hosting the Oscars than watching them. I like that joke. The Oscars are trying something new, caring what the audience thinks. They've allowed Twitter users to vote on their favorite movie. Colbert says, so get ready to hear. And now, presenting the award for Best Actor in a Supporting Role, Dame Helen Mirren and Twitter user at ButtBurgerPimp420. In Shanghai, via YICA Global, your home for comedy news, four young comedians got up and did Winter Olympics jokes. Yang Menggi said, what's the gap between you and Eileen Gu? Okay, that's a good question. What's the gap between you and Eileen Gu? The punchline? About the height of the Shanghai Tower. I think we need to work on our jokes in Shanghai. Meanwhile, John Oliver commented on Joe Rogan saying, I think it's a society. We've now agreed white people should not use the N-word a shocking amount of times unless you have a lucrative podcast deal with Spotify. Ouch. Speaking of the lucrative podcast deal with Spotify, the New York Post noticed on Friday Joe Rogan's podcast disappeared for about 20 minutes. A message on the Spotify page said, couldn't find that podcast. This happened around noon Friday. The conspiracy people got involved. But a spokesperson told the Post it's a technical issue affecting a number of our shows and should be resolved soon. Soon was 20 minutes later, so it seems like there's nothing to that. Or is there? From Variety, Netflix has announced that Chappelle's Home Team, a series of standalone comedy specials, will debut on your Netflix February 28th. Let me check my watch. That's Monday. I checked my watch for the date. I should have said calendar. Chappelle will appear in each special to introduce the comedians. First up is Earthquake Legendary. Earthquake is awesome. You're probably not that familiar with him. The comedians love Earthquake, so this is great exposure via Dave Chappelle. The second special premiere date yet to be announced will feature Donnell Rawlings. Dave Chappelle said, I've been doing this a long time, and comedians like Quake and Donnell are not only friends, but have inspired my own career. Anyone in the comedy community knows these names and knows their time to shine is long overdue. Dave is right there. I'm proud to be part of this moment. So is there a huge uproar? Oh my God, Dave Chappelle's not canceled. Nah, this really not. I saw one article trying to do the people on Twitter outraged as Netflix gives Dave Chappelle blah, 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 blah. There were like three tweets and they weren't even good enough to make this podcast. So how good could the tweets have been? Know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hey, let's hope Louis C.K. gets his shows in this week. Why? He's playing in Kyiv, Ukraine on the 25th and 26th. Louis, who the hell is booking your shows? Thanks to Douglas, who hit me up on Twitter at DCNpod. Douglas said in a nice way, I'm surprised you haven't done this story. And I wrote back, I hadn't seen it. So thank you very much. This was on Chortle. Louis C.K. mailed out to his fans. I guess that's email. Maybe Louis C.K. wrote like letters, personal. Like he's sitting in his hotel room and he's like, well, I can't have people come into my hotel room and watch me do stuff to myself. So let me write some letters. Now, I don't think he did that. But in some sort of communication to fans, Louis C.K. said, in terms of Ukraine, I really want to do these shows and I will if I can. Obviously, that's a situation. We're keeping in touch with the folks there and monitoring things and just kind of waiting to see what it looks like closer to the date. But my intention is to do the shows if at all possible. I will do my best there, and I hope it works out. So let me see what happens. I mean, wars aren't funny, but this whole notion of, like, Putin's about to invade and Louis C.K. is doing jokes is just, it bemuses me. We'll see how that shakes out. These next two stories, we're going into the horrible zone. I hate these next two stories. From the AV Club. While filming the third season of Atlanta, Donald Glover and other writers for the series were racially harassed in London on their first night in the city. That just sucks. Stephen Glover, brother of Donald, is a writer on the show, and he said, this group of people walks up, and maybe one of them kind of notices Donald or recognizes him, and she stops, and they start asking if they know anywhere around here to get something to drink. I think we were talking to them for a second. It's this girl and two or three guys. Then one of the men in the group said that the writers could most likely break into the bar because you all carry hammers. Hammers is a slang word for a gun. Stephen said they ignored the comment. It was so insulting, but not insulting at the same time because it took us 5 minutes to fully understand. He got to the point of like, if the insinuation was lost on us, he got specific and he was like, you guys are black, you've gone to jail, and you do things like that. Like, he kept doubling down on it. Then one of the men picked up the woman and yelled, run, they're going to rape you like rape you. The girl was like, I'm sorry, as she's being taken away. So it was pretty bad. Donald Glover added, we were just standing there like, what just happened? This next story, also horrible, from the Daily Beast. Lane Spirkus shared this on the Facebook group, which is Daily Comedy News Podcast Group, if you want to read the article. I don't. I kind of don't want to discuss this topic because it just makes me feel awful and icky. I'm also really undereducated on it. The story from the headline I don't want to dive in on is Horatio Sanz's sexual assault accuser speaks out. He abused me all over SNL. One paragraph, so I don't want to make light of the story, but one paragraph made me do Spock eyebrow. Perhaps the strangest of Sanz's alleged gifts, Omaha steaks, delivered overnight to the home where Jane Doe lived with her family. She said, they didn't think it was weird at all. I still haven't had the heart to tell my mom about these allegations. Again, the allegations are quite serious, and it's just not what I do. I make fun of George Lopez tacos. I don't do this. But it's on the Daily Beast. Horatio Sanz's sexual assault accuser speaks out. And you'll find that on the Facebook group, Daily Comedy News Facebook group. The Guardian gave Mo Gilligan's new special 4 stars out of 5. I want to check that out. The Daily Orange had somebody at Jay Farrow and Mateo Lane's show, and it sounds like it was pretty funny. Somebody yelled out to Jay Farrow to do an impression of Will Smith. Farrow yelled back, I'm not a jukebox, MF-er. The show started with host AJ Foster comparing himself to an annoying YouTube ad. His joke, except you can't skip me after the first 5 seconds. It's not a good joke. Foster then introduced Mateo Lane. Now, it sounds like Mateo's set was super strong. It even reads funny. He got right to the point and said, hey, everyone, thank you so much. I'm obviously gay. Mateo Lane talked about playing Fortnite during the pandemic. He called it the gay version of Call of Duty because of its special ability to combine action and aesthetics. Mateo said, it's just like you're killing and decorating at the same time. You're like, ceasefire, but could you add a bay window? Mateo said, some countries he's visited are not very accepting of the LGBTQ community. Italy can be kind of homophobic. You know, the Vatican? It's so funny. It's just a bunch of men in dresses and no women, and they're like, no gays. Jay Farrow said it was his first college show since the pandemic. He had been doing drive-in shows, and he said, it's one thing to walk out of someone's show, but when you drive out of the show, that's a different level of disrespect. I hope you pop your tire. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by Palace Intrigue. I'm the writer on the show. We talk about the royal family, and you know, sometimes it's Sunday afternoon, and you're just chilling, and you're like, the queen has COVID. I gotta bug my host, and we gotta get some podcasts out there. That's what happens. I just want to make fun of Harry. I don't want the queen to be sick, but if you want to follow the latest royal family gossip, Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows. Adam Scott, he is one of the stars of Party Down. I guess he's the star of Party Down, but it is an ensemble show. He was on Stephen Colbert. Colbert called Party Down a cult classic. Scott said, we finished 12 years ago, and our final episode had something like 13,000 viewers, so it was not yet a cult classic at that time, but people have discovered it in the time since. You can add me to that list, thanks to Vulture really singing their praises. You'll find Party Down on Hulu. You should watch it. People have discovered it in the time since, and I think that's part of what makes it special to people, is that they had to dig it up and find it themselves, so they feel some ownership over it, which they should, because now we started up again and rebooted it because of them, because people found it. Scott said of revisiting the series, it's really strange, but really wonderful. Something this morning made me remember, oh yeah, Chris Kattan and Big Brother, whatever happened with that? Well, luckily Showbiz Cheat Sheet watches the show. Apparently, Chris Kattan decided to self-evict himself. An episode addressed his departure, but did not give a reason for his choice. But in the exit interview, Chris Kattan explained he had family issues back home as his stepfather fell ill before he entered the house. Kattan said he had a difficult time with the inability to contact his family while in the competition, wanted to leave because of that reason. He will not vote in the finale, which is tomorrow night. From Chortle, they have the winners of the comedy.co.uk awards. Congratulations to Comedy of the Year, Taskmaster. Other winners, Best TV Entertainment Show, Taskmaster. Best New TV Sitcom, The Cleaner. Best Returning TV Sitcom, Ghosts. I haven't seen the British Ghosts. I haven't seen the American Ghosts either, but people tell me it's pretty good. Best Radio Sitcom, Michael Spicer, Before Next Door. Best TV Sketch Show, Horrible Histories. Best Radio Sketch Show, Dead Ringers. Best TV Panel Show, Would I Lie to You? Best Radio Panel Show, The Unbelievable Truth. Best Radio Entertainment Show, You're Dead to Me. Best TV Comedy Drama, Inside Number 9. Chortle also reports that coming out today is a half-hour drama about when Michael Jackson met Benny Hill. Yeah? Yeah. On February 22nd, 1992, the King of Pop met the King of Comedy. Benny Hill was staying at the Brompton Hospital following a heart attack. Michael Jackson, a fan of Benny Hill's work, yeah, paid a visit, and the occasion was captured by a photographer. Benny Hill and Michael Jackson talked for half an hour. Michael Jackson made plans to appear on the Benny Hill Show, but it was not meant to be. Benny Hill died on April 20th, less than 2 months later. Oh, imagine if Michael Jackson was on the Benny Hill Show. Jonathan Morris wrote the play When Michael Met Benny. He said, I heard about this unlikely meeting about 10 years ago and immediately thought, there's a play in that. It could be the next Frost Nixon. Then I realized if nobody else was going to write it, I'll write it myself. It was just such an exciting idea I couldn't let go. What would two such different people find to talk about? What would they have in common? When Michael Met Benny, half-hour drama, available for free on all podcast platforms today. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow this show on all those same podcast platforms. Wherever you get the Benny Hill, Michael Jackson thing, I'll be there too. See you tomorrow.